You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hello and welcome to Florida Foodie. I'm Candace Campos.
And I'm Lisa Bell. Today's guest is the executive pastry chef at Caribe Royale Resort in Orlando, known for making elaborate chocolate creations, such as an 11-foot-tall, 850-pound model of the Saturn V rocket to celebrate its anniversary. We are so excited to be joined today by Chef Joshua Kane. Thank you so much for joining us today and bringing so many treats with you.
Oh, of course. You can't come out having chocolate. I mean, hey, that's what I'm known for.
I guess we could say that you're cocoa for chocolate.
Yeah. Get we're going to have to change this to the Cocoa Podcast.
Oh, I like that.
So we're going to have lots of
You're one of those guests.
I am one of those guests.
Very funny. So this is very interesting when you think of pastries and chocolates. You don't necessarily think of what we're seeing on our table today. What is this?
So, you know, I like to start from what chocolate is, and a lot of people don't realize. I mean, it's a fruit from a tree, but this fruit actually grows off the side of the tree in the trunk, and it starts off with a little tiny flower. Almost looks like a micro orchid. I mean, it's very, very small, you know, and then it gets pollinated by this little bug called a midge, right? And then you get these cocoa pods. This one's been freeze-dried.
Okay.
Now, the ones in nature, when they're fresh, you know, they're all sorts of different colors. I mean, reds and yellows and purples, kind of like what I have here on the table. And then you open them up, it's kind of like, almost, I would say, like kind of like a pumpkin, right? That flesh, kind of like that. You open it up, and inside, you know how you have the seeds of the pumpkin? Well, inside the cocoa pod, you have this sack of, you know, cocoa beans that are connected all together. And then you can pull them out individually.
And now they look like this.
This is actually some that have been, that mucilage has been taken off, and these have been dried. And then what you end up with this is you take this and you crack them, and then that becomes the cocoa nibs. And then there you make the chocolate from the nibs.
So if I wanted to eat fruit, technically chocolate counts is what I heard, basically.
Exactly.
Yes. A yellow pod, the chocolate from a yellow pod tastes different than the chocolate from an orange one or a green one?
Now, there are different varieties. So you have the Criollo, which is, you know, one of the rare. You have Trinitario, and then you have Forastero. Forastero is what you're going to use the most of. That's what you're going to see. That's where you get a lot of the bulk commodity of chocolate. You know, the Trinitario is a very nice one. The Criollo, you find in certain areas, certain regions, it's a little bit more rare, and it's not a very high output chocolate.
Now, do they not only taste different, but is it also, do you have to work with them differently depending on what type of chocolate it is?
Well, depending how the chocolate's been manufactured, you know, some can have higher cocoa butter contents in them and some can have lower, you know, so I like one that's, you know, kind of right in the middle. They call them drops, right? So you have a 5-drop, that's going to be super fluid. You have a 3-drop, that's going to be right in the kind of the middle. That's where I like to hit. You know, and a 1-drop, that has its applications for certain things, but you can't do everything with it. You know, the 3-drop, you know, it's nice and fluid, but it sets up nicely. It's, you know, it's nice and viscous as well. You know, the 1-drop, you know, I would use for something if I was making like a really thick ganache, I need to be able to pipe and it would be nice and firm. So
I love the science behind this. We all love chocolate, but
right.
Who knew that so much actually goes into each and every piece of chocolate you're eating?
Absolutely.
So how did you get into all of this? I mean, what was that spark that started you saying, I'm going to do sweets, I'm going to be a pastry chef?
When you were like 6 years old, were you just eating like Hershey bars nonstop?
So it's funny. So I didn't realize this. I mean, my first job was in actually a kitchen. You know, I was 14 years old. I was working in the kitchen. You know, I did culinary first. I was like, oh, I kind of like this. So I decided to get my culinary degree and went to school. And, you know, I worked in different restaurants around North Carolina. And I did that for about 10 years. But a part of schooling, I had pastry classes. And I was like, oh, I kind of like the pastry side of things.
Yeah.
So I looked into going to school. I went to Johnson & Wales in Charlotte, North Carolina. It was the first, I was the first graduating class from that campus. Wow. And, you know, for me, chocolate and sweets is something that I didn't realize until I got older, that I did this a lot with my great aunt. You know, everybody was in the kitchen, you know, and my grandmother was cooking, but my great aunt was the one who always made all of the desserts. And I was right there. I'm like, helping her out. And I always had a huge sweet tooth. We used to go pick our own blueberries and strawberries. And, you know, that was just what we did. We'd always go to the farms to get all our produce and our food. And then we'd go home and we'd process it and make cobblers and all sorts of stuff with it.
Well, it's one thing, too, to make something that tastes delicious, but the way you make it look is equally as important.
Yeah, I mean, you know, lesson two.
And just so our viewers know, this, although it looks like a cocoa pod, you actually made this. This is all chocolate. This is the real deal. This is what you made out of chocolate.
So one of the things I do, you know, is I actually make molds as well. You know, so if I want to make something out of chocolate and I want it to have certain details, I'll create my own molds. So I use silicone. I use different, you know, thermoforming techniques to make different plastic molds and stuff like that to create what I want to out of chocolate if
How
I can't do it by
that?
Hand.
Do you have a 3D printer?
I have a thermo, like a vacuum forming machine to do that. I do not have a 3D printer, but I am working on a laser actually.
Wow.
So that's something that I can do, you know, with chocolate as well. I can create a slab of chocolate and do some interesting details in there that I might not be able to quite get, you know, by hand.
So did you have to call NASA and ask for these Saturn V blueprints to make your mold for that? How did that come about?
You know, it's funny. Whenever I start the creative process, I always look at ideas. I see things and I'm like, okay, how can I take this in a sheet of paper and a slight, little tiny drawing? How can I scale it up to what I want it to be? Mm-hmm. So I did that. I looked at all the different things of the rocket and, you know, I looked at kind of like its overall scale. And then I'm like, okay, well, then I actually kind of created a scale from, I think it's like a 1/45th or something size of the actual rocket. But don't hold me to that. But I start to take those drawings and I actually draw out the full size thing and I scale it up to what I want it to be. You know, same thing with the train that I made. I did that. And, you know, the rails are actually a 7.5 gauge rail. You know, I created a mold of that. So
we're
that
not
way,
talking
it's
about
perfect.
A model, like a little tiny
about
model train
that you made. Because it is on display from time to time at the resort. But we're talking 32 feet long.
32 feet, 1,600 pounds of chocolate. I mean, and most of the time I spend more time explaining that, yes, every part of that is chocolate.
I mean, even to the little, like, bolting of you know, the typical train.
Right. All the little details.
Everything. Yeah, and that's one thing, you know, there's a lot of engineering that goes into it.
I like this guy, Lisa. Yeah.
But I teach my chocolatier, Maria, like I teach her, and that was the first time she did anything like this. I teach her, I'm like, look around the kitchen. What do we have that we can create something that we're trying to accomplish? Yeah. You know? So, you know, like the smokestacks are like Bain Marie's from the kitchen. I use saute pans for the wheels, you know, and stuff like that. So I'm using things that are around to try to get that form and shape. And then a lot of it's handwork and a lot of it's some different stencils and things like that. And I cut out and, you know, there's just so many different techniques to go into that to make it look real and true to form.
What's the most aggravating part of the process? Because I can ask you what's the most exciting part. But I feel like sometimes when you're sizing these things and you're also working with chocolate, not with, you know, wood.
A lot of trial and error.
Yeah, I mean, temperature matters, weight matters, all that matters. Like, so what's that thing that you're just like, maybe the one thing you were not the most excited about?
Probably moving it. Because that's when it's so stressful. And the biggest thing with that is everybody, that's when everybody comes around and gets in your way and they're like,
to watch.
Oops. And I'm like, you're funny, but you don't know what I'll do right now. No, I'm just kidding. It's hard moving it. It really is.
And I have to imagine when you know, have the plan to make something like a 32-foot long train, everywhere you go, you start looking at objects as potential molds.
Absolutely.
Whether you're at the store, just driving down the street, like, oh, maybe I could use that to create this.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that because this year we added Santa, sleigh, and the reindeer, you know, 34 feet long, like literally 9 reindeer, full sleigh.
Because the train wasn't enough. Yeah.
Well, I had to, you know, make it look right in our lobby because it, you know, it was just one-sided last year. And then this past year I decided to add to the other side. And, you know, so Maria had seen how we, you know, created the train. So as she's sitting there, she starts thinking of these things. Oh, what if we do this? What is it? And I'm like, it kind of was like, all right.
Okay.
She learned something. And she started doing things. And it worked. It really did. And, you know, for that, I built these things really substantial so that they can last this test of time. And, you know, one of the jokes was, I was like, listen, if this sleigh will hold me, it's going to hold the Santa that I'm about to put in it. So I actually, you know, literally got in the sleigh and sat in Santa's seat.
No, it's that strong.
It's that strong, yeah.
And so every year is the plan to add to this display?
So those two pieces are giving me the length that I need in the spots that they're going to be. And those will be the footprints that will stay. Now, what I'll do is I'll add filler pieces. So this next year I might add a snowman. I might add, you know, chestnuts roasting on an open fire. But not just, you know, small. I'm talking about like giant. You know, have this little fire and have
and
them
no
seriously.
Real fire near the chocolate.
No real fire near the chocolate. No, definitely
rule
not.
Rule number one.
Yes. So what was also interesting, you were saying this masterpiece that you created, you actually reuse that year after year. And we were a little surprised to hear that because how can you keep chocolate and have it last that long?
So let me ask you this. If you ever go into your pantry, you get chocolate out of your pantry, right? Mm-hmm. You get it out, it looks kind of grayish, right?
Right, yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that, right?
Okay.
What that means is it's just come out of the temperature a little bit and it's come out of temper. So what we call that is fat bloom, all right? So some of the cocoa butter has come to the surface and it's just not shiny as it was and, you know, it's just not as pretty as it was. Mm-hmm. Melt it down, use it, eat it, it's fine. Now, if you put that said chocolate in the fridge, once you pull that out or the freezer, what's going to happen is it's going to sweat, okay? Especially here in Florida, it's going to sweat. And then what that does, and this is a little science lesson for you, sugar is hygroscopic, okay? And what it's going to do is it's going to draw to those moisture droplets on top of the cocoa pod or on the chocolate, and then it'll recrystallize as the moisture then, you know, dissipates.
So putting chocolate in the fridge or freezer is a huge no-no.
Yeah.
That is
just
to me.
Room temp. And I mean, you shouldn't be having it leaving around that much anyway. You should eat it.
No, it never lasts that long.
Yeah, you got to enjoy
but
it.
But sometimes people that's actually true. Like it. You know, they'll put, you know, say Girl Scout cookies in the freezer because they like it cold, especially in Florida.
Yeah.
No, that's...
I mean,
it's heartbreaking to you.
Out of the freezer.
If that's what you like, that's what you like.
Okay.
I mean, but,
deal.
You know, if you're going to have a truffle that you're going to buy or bonbons that you're going to go buy, a really high-end, you know, chocolate shop or something like that, no, you want to make sure that you're enjoying them. They're there, and those don't have that long of a shelf life, you know. You want to make sure that you're enjoying them at their freshest.
So
you know?
This train stays at room temperature year-round.
Yep.
How long do you think it will last?
Ooh, if
that's
all
so cool.
goes well, I would say, I mean, it's almost this year, this December will be 2 years old.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think it would last 8 years or more.
So you just have to kind of give it a couple little dustings and a little extra
little
TLC.
Yeah, we cover it. And what happens over time, the cocoa butter will lose some of its pigments. So what we'll do is we'll come back and we'll airbrush and we'll, you know, make sure that it looks fresh and looks like it did when we first made it.
Yeah.
You know.
So you're creating, but you're also working on a project actually creating your own chocolate. So formulating your own chocolate.
So
what's that process like?
Back in October, I was I had the chance to go to France, and the company I was with, they approached me. They said that, hey, you know, would you be interested in formulating your own chocolate? It's called their Or Noir program, and this is through Barry Callebaut. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. So I got all the information. You know, they kind of told me what the usage would be and stuff like that. And, you know, I pitched it to my boss, and he's like, that sounds amazing. Like, who's doing that around here? And, you know, there's not too many people that are doing that. So we got to the day, we get on the plane, we fly over there, and it wasn't just me going and making the chocolate. It was an immersive experience, you know. So we're experiencing where we're going. We're having, you know, the food. We're seeing what's around. And, you know, it was really cool because it was this old, it looked like an old house that we're in. And you basically go in there, and what you start with is taste. So without knowing what I'm tasting these different chocolate bases, right? And they're not finished chocolates, but chocolate bases using certain beans. So beans from Venezuela, beans from Peru or Bolivia or, you know, the Ivory Coast, different beans. And you're kind of picking up on different flavor profiles, you know, and then I would say, you know, oh, I like this or I don't like that, you know, and then that's what kind of starts the whole thing. The thing for me is like I started tasting these things and I'm like, oh, those beans are from Madagascar. Oh, those are from Venezuela. And the lady who was doing it, she was just like looking at me and I'm like, I'm right. She's like, yep.
You know your stuff.
So,
yeah.
You know, for me, one of my favorite flavors of chocolate comes from Madagascar. I love the way it tastes. I'll explain to you that in a second. Why? Mm-hmm. I'm going to take you on an immersive experience with chasing the chocolate.
Uh-oh.
Can we go to Paris to do this?
Sure. Let's go.
Let's go.
But it's really cool. So we start the process. We work on the flavor profiles. We take those and then we kind of start a formula. We kind of start with a base. We temper the chocolate once we get that base. We put all the stuff in this machine and it kind of tempers it for us. It kind of gets it to the fluidity we're looking for. And then we taste. Okay. And then you can try it and see, it needs to be developed more. Or it might need this, more sugar or more cocoa content or more cocoa butter. Depends on what it is. So I did a few dark chocolates to start off with, and the first, obviously, the first revisions, I wasn't satisfied with. You know, I felt like they needed to be Yeah, revise.
You've got some high standards, Josh. Yeah,
exactly.
Don't you? Yeah.
So then what I did is then we go in there, we tweak the formula a little bit, and we add some different things here and there, and then we scale it out, and then we go at it again, and then we temper the chocolate, create our thing, and then we taste again. And you know, the one that I actually landed on was it had beans from Venezuela and Madagascar. It has a really nice flavor profile, and what I was trying to do is tie in what happens in Central Florida, what grows in Central Florida, and some of those notes. So they have a lot of fruity notes, you know, red berry kind of notes, you know, kind of like Plant City strawberries, right? Citrus notes, the honey that goes along with that. So I wanted to kind of tie that into my chocolate so it really brings it all home for what we have, you know, in Central Florida.
So is that your primary chocolate that you use now day in and day out?
I don't have it yet.
Okay.
So it should be here within the month.
I just
got some marketing materials for it, you know, explaining it has a picture of my formula. Yeah. It has, you know, my name that I created.
Okay.
It's the certificate of exclusivity.
Yeah.
If I said that right.
Yeah.
And then it just tells about, you know, the Crib Royale, how you can only get it there. That's the only place you can get that chocolate is at the Crib Royale.
And how will you serve that? Will it be a part of a pastry? Will it be just a piece of chocolate? I mean, what are your plans for that?
Lobster endless.
No, they're endless.
Plain
so
City strawberry dipped in the chocolate.
There you go. Yeah. One of the things we're going to do is I got two different sizes packaging. So like I have like 5 kilo bags, which I'll use for my production. I'll use it in my chocolate machine, and I'll use it in my everything from brownies to bonbons to truffles. And then I'll have 1 kilo versions that, you know, if we have site visits that come to the hotel, or if we have VIP guests, or if we have a chocolate experience, they're going to take that with them. So they can have our chocolate with them. So, you know, so it's a small little bag, and then they can take that and use it however they would like.
So when you're trying these different tastes and you're trying to, like, you know, formulate and figure out, how do you cleanse your palate?
Yes.
Milk?
No
milk.
A lot of water.
Water.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Cause
okay,
some of the beans and some of the chocolates, they're almost kind of like wine. It's very, you know, regional.
Okay.
So you have certain beans, and I mean, the flavors are just so distinct. And, you know, some of these chocolates, if they have a higher percentage of cocoa mass in them, they'll dry your palate out. I mean, you'll be tasting it. It's like drinking a red wine. It's very, very dry. Mm. So, you know, I'm constantly, you know, drinking water, cleaning the palate, and then, you know, going back in and, you know, trying it again. So
you ready to go around the world and do a taste test?
Yeah.
Let's go.
I was saying, we haven't even tried any chocolate yet.
Yeah.
Let's try some.
So I have a few different milk chocolates, a few different dark chocolates. And these are a little bit interesting. So these are like white chocolate, right? But they're not technically chocolate because they don't have the cocoa mass, but they have the cocoa butter, they have the lecithin, and they have a lot of the ingredients that, you know, make it like work like chocolate, but it's not technically chocolate.
Okay.
Now these are fairly new to the market, and this is what's called raspberry inspiration, and this is passion fruit inspiration. And the way those are made are with dehydrated raspberries and passion fruit, and it's very, very like a punch of flavor. And it's very unique because it allows us to be able to create different items, you know, that we couldn't do before. So, and then
do they melt and all that stuff just kind of the same?
Yep. You melt, temper them just like you would do like a white chocolate.
Okay.
So the temperature is a little bit lower for those. The milk chocolate, so you're going to work with those around 28, 29 degrees Celsius. The milk chocolate, you're going to do about 29, and then the dark, you'll do about 30 to 31, you know, so those, you know, you got to take a little bit more care with, as far as melting them and working with them. Now, I have a couple of chocolates here, Araguani and then Manjari. Now, the Araguani, this one actually is a Venezuelan chocolate, okay?
Okay. Do you want me to smell this?
No, I want you to try it.
Okay. Were we supposed to close our eyes?
Oh, no, wait. We'll get there.
Oh,
we'll get there.
We're closing our eyes.
Yeah.
With another one.
So,
okay.
Now,
Yeah,
go ahead and try. So, this chocolate is a really nice chocolate.
It's delicious.
This one.
I love dark chocolate, too.
This chocolate actually comes from a specific region in Venezuela, right? Okay, so now what it's doing is it's actually picking up some of the flavors of things that are growing around it. I've tasted chocolates that, you know, have tasted like coconut because coconuts are being grown in that region, or coffee or anything like that, or citrus or honey. It picks up some of those notes, right?
I'm trying to figure out what this one is.
I feel like it's coffee and citrus.
Citrus is, you know, is
I felt the tanginess to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me if I'm wrong. I might be just talking about
You
know what?
It's your palate. You know, you might taste something a little bit differently than I taste.
This is good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now, this one is one of my favorite.
Wait, I need my water.
Yes.
Got to cleanse my palate.
What's your favorite thing to have with chocolate?
Chocolate. More chocolate.
More chocolate.
Never mind.
Now,
do you mix chocolates?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And they even have chocolates that come in with like a blend of beans. So like the chocolate I did is a blend of beans. It's not a origin is what they call it, where this is like a single origin bean. You know, you're only getting the beans from that region only. The beans I had were from Venezuela and Madagascar to create my chocolate. So it's a blend of beans, right? Now this one, you know, you smell that.
Okay.
Okay. Now, you got to, wait, no. you got to listen to the rules here, okay?
Don't jump start.
Now, what you're going to do is you're going to take a bite.
Okay.
You're going to get it, let it melt on your tongue.
Why am I nervous?
Okay.
Okay. And then what you're going to do is you're going to, my assistant says this, it's funny, but it works.
Okay.
You're going to take it, once you get it melted on your tongue, you're going to smack the tongue against the roof of your mouth. And what it's going to do is it's going to aerate it. It's like swishing wine, right? It's like aerating your wine.
Take a bite, let it melt, smack your tongue.
Yep. Then, okay, the most important part, once you get there, close your eyes, think of it, and they kind of think about what's going on with these flavors.
Okay.
I promise not to make faces.
Okay. Is it malted yet?
Mm-mm. I can tell you what I taste, though. Let me close my eyes and tell you.
There's something more there, right, than the cocoa notes that you're getting.
I taste banana.
Okay, you can open your eyes now. So, this
maybe orange.
Okay,
I just know
banana orange.
I have orange. I'm so bad at this game.
I'm gonna go with
what is that?
Maybe is it passion fruit? It's on the table.
Think red fruits.
Strawberry.
Currants, strawberry, cherries.
Cherry.
It's a very fruity chocolate, and this actually comes from Madagascar.
That's at the end.
Yeah, you get it after the end. Yeah.
The more it melts.
Yep. And that's one of my favorite flavors, and that's what I actually add is those Madagascar beans into the chocolate I created because it gives you that fruitiness.
These are pretty similar, though. That one's a little more tart, I would say.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Was she right about the banana?
Yeah, you can get banana notes in there as well.
Mmm.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting once you try different chocolates.
Am I making weird faces?
You know, and you look at the percentage of chocolate, right? It's, you know, you'll see, oh, this is a 70% chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those 70% chocolate by this manufacturer and a 70% chocolate by this manufacturer, those percentages are two different things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can have one that has, you know, this much cocoa mass, this much sugar, and then this much, you know, whatever else, right? And then the other one can have this much cocoa mass, this much sugar. That 70% is all variable.
The berries are when I bite it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting. But there's a lot, like I said, you get
a lot of different. Really fruity afterward. Like I'm feeling a lot of fruit.
Yeah, you get a lot more than just, oh, that's a good chocolate. No, this is like, wow, okay, there's something going on there. What am I tasting with this?
So you intertwine all these different chocolates depending on what dessert you're making.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I would use this. Obviously, if I'm doing something with fruit, I would use this with raspberries or some kind of red fruit notes to then kind of tie in with that chocolate. So.
What's your favorite dish, chocolate dish?
Yes. Oof. If you were going to serve a dessert to, I don't know, us.
What's, no. What's your, if it was your famous, last thing you're going to have?
What would you make?
Oh, man. There's so many different things, but one of them, like I can tell you some flavor combinations. So chocolate and raspberry is one of those flavor combinations.
Yes.
But I recently created a dessert where we do caramelized hazelnuts, and we did a caramelized hazelnut praline center with a raspberry jam and then a raspberry mousse. And my gosh, it was just amazing.
How have you not 8,000 pounds?
I work at a big resort. I do a lot of walking.
Do you sometimes wake up in the middle of the night and say,
I got it.
I'm going to combine this stuff.
Usually it's on the drive home. I'm like,
You have a little notepad or something?
Yeah, so.
Okay. We can try this or no?
Sure, yes. So, okay. Now, I don't know if you can tell in the light, but two different milk chocolates, okay? This one's Havara. This one's Bahibe, okay? Now, if you can kind of see, they do look different.
This one seems darker.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
So, what they kind of consider this is like a dark milk chocolate.
Okay.
Right? And what that means is there's more cocoa mass in the milk chocolate. This one's going to be probably a little bit sweeter tasting. This one's going to have a little bit more of those cocoa notes, more like a dark chocolate, but you still get that richness from the milk chocolate.
Okay.
So It's very, like I said, very interesting. The milk chocolate that I created was based off my dark chocolate, mm-hmm. and it is kind of like what you would classify a dark milk chocolate.
That's good.
So what's next? What's the next thing on your to-do list? Because you're also competing on top of, you know, creating your own chocolate and the resort and all that stuff. You're also on the Food Network.
Yeah. Spring Baking Championship.
Yeah.
So episode 7 aired last night. So yeah, still on it.
Okay.
What's that been like?
It's interesting. It's one of those things, like, it's a lot more challenging than I could possibly ever imagine. I knew it was going to be tough going in, but it's, I mean, it's legit. You're right there. And whenever you see this, that's when we find out. That's when we go. And then we just have, you know, our time allotted to create. And, you know, you can have every plan in the world, but if something goes wrong, then you got to be able to react real quick.
Are you showing up at the resort? Yeah.
Actually, last week my brother was staying at the resort, and you know, I was out there. I was walking by the pool, and he was out there, and I was talking to him. And somebody came back like, "Are you Josh Kane?" I'm like,
"Stop."
Yeah. And they actually recognized me from the show, so I was "That's pretty cool." So.
Yeah, you do. You normally do chocolate? Do you try to stick as much to the chocolate world as possible?
Chocolate is what I'm passionate about.
Right.
We have the pastry side of things as well. You know, I do a lot of desserts. I've done a lot of cakes in my time. You know. But chocolate's what really hits home for me.
So you can kind of tell.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm actually expanding my chocolate room right now because we quickly have outgrown that space. So I'm working on expanding that to make it where we can do actually classes and bring guests in. They can pay to take these classes and come see what we do and create these things that you see on the table. You know, so that's something we're developing right now. And I'm working on that and getting that kind of moved over. And yeah, it's exciting.
Congratulations. Yeah. I mean, there's all these new adventures for you, which is just so cool. It keeps the passion alive, which I think is important.
My biggest thing is I'm to the point now, you know, with the creep. When I got there, obviously we're, you know, coming off the pandemic and, you know, everything was just, you know, just turned on end, you know, from all that. So I've been very fortunate to build this team from the ground up. And yeah, and I literally have hand-plucked every person that works on my, as far as my team's concerned. And everybody there wants to be there. They want to learn. They want to, you know, create. And they see what we're doing and where we're going. Because nowadays, it's easier to say, oh, well, I'm just going to buy them frozen and you just put it on a plate. I don't do that. No. You know, we do things. We create things. We're making things that you're not going to see in a resort setting. Not even some high-end chocolate shops don't even have some of the equipment that we use. You know, and I pride myself on that. So,
you actually have 12 people on your team.
Yep.
Yeah. So who sets the menu? You?
So me and my assistant pastry chef, so what we'll do is we'll kind of, you know, if we have a group in house or if we, you know, we're doing a new dessert, we kind of throw out ideas of things we want to try. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we start, you know, just throwing them out like a board of just ideas. Mm-hmm. Then we start to say, okay, well, we've done something like this. Let's try this. Maybe we'll do something that's, you know, seasonal, you know, using a berry or something, whatever. And then we start to kind of develop these things. We draw out sketches. Oh, let's add this. And we kind of go back and forth. And usually that's when we get the most creative things is when we're just throwing out ideas and like, oh, what if we do this? And then, oh, let's add this in the middle of it. Oh, we need a crunch factor. Oh, okay, that works.
Yeah.
So, you know, we just do that and then you get some really good menu items.
Sometimes you see a dessert and it looks amazing, but it doesn't always taste the best. But this tastes amazing.
Yeah.
I start with the taste first.
And then work from there. Yeah.
Exactly. Because... Yeah. Like you say, nothing is worse than you're like, oh man, that looks great. And you're just like,
never mind.
It looks great on Instagram. That moment you cut into, you're like, this is dry.
No, I like to make it taste good. And then we work backwards and we make it look good at the end.
Right. So for our viewers and our listeners who are like, okay, tell us, where can we have this? Where could we find your pastries and your chocolates?
So we have our Venetian room, which we have, it's our fine dining. We have one of our signature dishes is actually our chocolate sphere, and what we do is we have a chocolate sphere that covers this dessert, and it's a chewy caramel chocolate tart with brownie pieces inside. It has a dark chocolate gelato with a hard crunch glaze, and then we light alcohol and then pour it over it, and then we melt that sphere away.
Oh, that's cool.
To reveal you know, actually working on a couple different new items that we're going to do for that as well soon. But also in our Calypsos, we have a few desserts there, and you got to have a key lime. We don't just do a standard key lime. You know, we do a key lime with a whipped yuzu ganache and a raspberry compote that goes along with it. And
we're going to have to go try that, Candace.
Awesome.
But we're actually going to be getting later on this year, our Cafe 24 is going to be going down for renovation, and it's going to become the market. what's going to happen with that? It's going to kind of be like a European style market where you can go in there and you can get sandwiches and things like that. But also we'll have a pastry case, we'll have a gelato case, we'll have chocolates, working on custom packaging for the resort for chocolates and bonbons, all the stuff you see here, having our custom packaging that we sell there retail as well.
And you're working on that too.
Absolutely.
Before we go, I do want to try, sample a few more of these sweet treats that you brought. What are we looking at here? Well, and is this what you could...
You haven't even revealed the cocoa pods. There's more under there.
There is?
Yeah. So grab one of those cocoa pods and then lift them up.
Okay.
Whoa!
You're good.
What is this?
So this is a key lime bonbon that we've made.
Oh my gosh.
What? Hold on.
Oh, don't worry. It keeps getting better.
Mm. No. What?
Wow.
They've been under our nose the whole time. Yep.
They taste amazing. Oh my gosh. Okay, the key lime. I'm sensing some coconut.
Whoa.
Yep.
It's amazing.
This is good.
I feel like I need to be in Key West right now.
I don't know why I said that. Like, I'm surprised. I'm not.
Yeah, and then we have our raspberry, and then we have a orange honey as well. So... This is all made in-house, you know, and I have two chocolatiers right now, and they just, we create and we have fun. You know, we make all these caramels
how
as well.
How do you come up with this? I mean, this idea.
So what we do is we start off with, you know, our molds. The molds that I get actually come from Belgium, from a place called Chocolate World. Same place my chocolate machines come from. And they have different crazy molds. Like this one has some texture to it. This one's the smooth hemisphere. And then we just, like, same thing. We start throwing out ideas. What do we want to see with our chocolates, you know?
To me, this is Central Florida.
Oh, absolutely.
Right here. The orange
the orange
and the honey.
The orange, the honey, yep. You know, it screams. Yep.
Oh, man.
So, you know, not only just creating that, then we also do, you know, caramels. These are vanilla pear caramels that we make in-house, and then these
vanilla
are espresso.
Pear.
Yep. So these candies are all made in-house as well. You know, this is something that's really unique because we use these right now for turndown service in the resort.
That's
you know, so we do four different flavors. We do the vanilla pear, we do a passion fruit mango, and we do a raspberry, you know, we do a chocolate. So different flavors that we use for our turndown guests.
Okay. You said this one was what?
That's amazing.
Yeah, no,
that
this is
orange and honey.
Yeah.
And then what are in these?
So what we call these are our clusters. So we'll take our nuts. And
hold on a second.
I know, right? That is Central Florida. That is Central Florida in a bite. Honey and
orange. You're good.
I don't think you can say that on the air.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Okay, back to the cluster. Mm-hmm.
So the clusters, I have a machine, it's called a panning machine. Mm-hmm. It's a sugar panner. So imagine this big copper kind of cauldron looking thing that rotates and then it has a flame that comes up around it. So I put my sugar and my water in there and then I toss in my nuts and then I actually caramelize them. Once I have them caramelized, then I take them out, we cool them. And so like this one right here, this one's, I call it my double almond and cherry. So it's using an almond inspiration chocolate. So the chocolate itself tastes like roasted almonds and then the actual caramelized almonds and cherries. And then we have some milk chocolate with peanuts. And then we have a dark chocolate almond as well. So, you know, this is something that's very unique, gives you nice textures, different flavors, you know, so.
This reminds me of the holidays because I don't know. Growing up, we would always have something like this around the holidays, which is delicious.
Yeah. So, yeah, we do our own caramelized nuts, which is something that, you know, I haven't really seen that kind of machinery anywhere else. And it's pretty fascinating to see how it works. You know, you have this big flame and the nuts just turning in there and, you know, you can smell the caramel being created. And it's really, really nice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm. It's like an explosion of different textures and flavors and... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my favorite is the almond with the cherries because I like the nice little punch that the cherries give to it.
Yes.
You know, and that nice roasted almond flavor that you get from it as well.
So possibly at the marketplace,
absolutely.
you'll have a couple of these options.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't bring the kids into the market.
Right. No kidding.
No.
great gift ideas too.
Yeah. The packaging is going to be fantastic because we're going to have a 6-piece and a 12-piece. And, you know, we can do it where we have our bonbons. You know, have a line of, we'll probably do 6 molded bonbons and then we'll do 6 framed. So those are a little bit different style where we actually enrobe them through our machine instead of doing them in a mold. And then we'll have our truffle line that we'll do and then we'll have a line of clusters. And then right here we have our crystallized fruit jelly, also known as pâte de fruits. So this-
What flavors do you have over
So
here?
I have a passion fruit mango, I have a blackberry, a pineapple, and then a raspberry. So that's something very unique and, you know, we can utilize that packaging for all these different types of, mm-hmm. of products.
They're so beautiful too.
They are so beautiful. Is this done by machine or hand? Or?
It's all done by hand.
Wow.
So we have a tempering machine that keeps the chocolate tempered for us. Mm-hmm. And then what we do is we take cocoa butter. So cocoa butter naturally in chocolate, right? You extrude that out, right? And what you end up on, once you extrude it, is you end up with the cocoa butter as the fat. Then you end up with this mass that then gets pulverized into what we know as cocoa powder, right?
I thought this was going to be more chewy. But it's so...
No, yeah, it is. Kinda, yeah.
It's not like a gummy. It's similar to a gummy, but not quite like a gummy. Yeah.
It's like biting into a cloud.
So these, then we take the cocoa butter and we actually use airbrushes and we airbrush our molds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then we mold them with the chocolate. And then the cocoa butter naturally is going to attract back to the chocolate as long as it's tempered correctly. So that's the biggest part.
Goodness. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming
in
today and showcasing all of the beautiful items that you are making. Everything is delicious. It tastes as good as it looks.
Thank you.
Congratulations on all your success.
Candace and I are going to be wired for hours now.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Josh.
Thank you for listening to Florida Foodie. We'd also like to thank our guest, Chef Joshua Kane. You can learn more about the chef's work at CaribRoyale.com. You can also find the resort on Facebook and Instagram. Be sure to follow Lisa Bell online. Search Lisa Bell News on Facebook and Instagram or Lisa Bell News 6 on Twitter. You can also find Candace Campos on social media. She's on Twitter. Just search at Candace News 6 and on Facebook search Candace Campos News 6. Also, a big thank you to our technical producers, Derek Mosier and Ryan Haley, our post-production audio engineer, Chris Flora, and our director, Joe Grenion. I'm the show's producer, Thomas Mates. Please take the time to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify or wherever you stream podcasts. And you can find videos of all of our podcasts on clickorlando.com and on YouTube. Just search for Florida Foodie.